Welcome to the Heaven's Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two Americans who don't know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean.
Heaven's Devils podcast. 18 matches, 40 points. That's what we call ROI. Rovers on Ignite. We're on fire heading into the winter, baby.
Let's go. We are on fire heading into the winter, baby. Let's go. You don't need a coat. You don't need a jacket. You don't need a fireplace. You got Forest Green Rovers to keep you warm. Nice exactly. Little ROI reference to return on investment. Rovers on it. Ignite. Let's go, because we got a little Wall Street reference coming up for you in a little bit. So nice job there, Shimmy.
Of course.
So how are we feeling, Shimmy Cakes? How are we feeling,
man,
Shimmy
Shamchenko? I don't know. This feeling is weird. I'm cautiously optimistic. Of course, FGR is the club on top of the hill. And here we are, all alone at the summit of League 2. What?
Oh.
This is crazy. Game in club hand.
Let's go. Yeah, game in hand too. That's true. Yeah. Man, club on top of the hill. Club on top of the table. You'll love to see it, Shimmy. You'll love to see it. I am feeling great too, Shimmy. Man, it's been a minute. Because we had these two incredible rivalry wins. No game on this past Saturday. Mm-hmm. But let's just go back in time. Ex-boss Mark Cooper came to town, Shimmy. A lot of nerves from fans, or at least from us, around that game. And then in a poetic response, Matty Stevens, the player Mark Cooper, didn't give a chance to. He scored not one, but two goals against Barrow. Everyone was rooting for that, Shimmy.
Yeah.
Everyone, we wanted a Matty Stevens goal, and he delivered. Not just one, but two goals against the old ball coach as Rovers defeated Barrow 2-0. And then we hosted local club Bristol Rovers, a.k.a. the Gas, a.k.a. the Pirates, a.k.a. the Gas Pirates. They came to town, and what everyone has called, definitely not just us, everyone has called El Gasico. Ex-FGR player Aaron Collins.
That's not just how we feel after Taco Tuesdays.
Ex-FGR player Aaron Hubbard, as our razzmatazz of Collins, came back to his old club. You may recall this, Shimmy. You may recall that Aaron Collins turned down a contract renewal in the summer from us to leave us and join the Gas. So the return of Azza, it added a little more spice to this match, Shimmy. A little more spice.
And the return of the hair, you know.
The return of the hair. And speaking of good hair, but also speaking of a controversial figure, the Gas are managed by a very controversial figure in Joey Barton. All kinds of stuff, you know, surrounding that man. Hey, Shimmy, Joey Barton, more like Joey Farton.
Are you right? Cue Seinfeld.
Definitely going to drop this. Sorry, I got to get as much mileage as I can out of these juvenile Gas fart jokes while it lasts, because we don't play Bristol Rovers again until April. So I got to get all out of my system, Shimmy. Anyway, Forest Green Rovers handled their business, Shimmy. They handled their business. Two goals by the best striker in the league, maybe the best striker in the world. Jamil Matt led the Forest Green Rovers to victory, putting FGR on top of the table. Top of the hill, top of the table, 40 points, baby, with the game in hand. And we'll talk a little more about that. We'll drop some stats in just a little bit, but we all have reason to feel great about this club right now. But before we talk about that, Shimmy, let's talk about what's happening on this pod. We got a bunch happening on this pod, Shimmy. A bunch of guests today, baby. So first up, we got Kip Kowalski and Tony Graw, who were at the Bristol Rovers game. They skipped Thanksgiving with their families in Louisiana and Steubenville, Ohio.
Never mind that there was a warrant out for Tony Graw's arrest in Louisiana. That has nothing to do with it. They just are dedicated to this club so much.
So there you go. They were out of the country, even if their bond said they couldn't be. Anyway, so they were.
The only bond they have is to Forest Green Rovers, Nathan.
There we go, Shimmy. There we go. So they were out of the country. They were in Nailsworth for the game. So we'll get their take on the game. Then, Shimmy, we got a big guest, a big one, the head coach of the Forest Green Rovers women's team, Stone Cold Chris Hicks, the Stone Cutter himself, Shimmy. He's on the pod. And, Shimmy, can I say, what a wonderful human being he was.
I know, yeah, he was eerily wonderful, right? It makes you think if maybe he's part of some sort of secret organization like the Stone Cutters on The Simpsons.
Let's
But you know what? I don't think he's keeping the Martians under wrap. I don't think he made Steve Guttenberg a star. He's making the FGR women stars.
Yes, he is. He's amazing. I love the Simpsons reference there. Shout out the Simpsons. Shout out the Stone Cutters. You are going to love that man. And then after Stone Cold Chris Hicks, we are lucky to have on from the beaches of North Yorkshire, media assistant for Harrogate Town and Harrogate Town YouTuber, Chief Brody, bro. Chief Brody. Brody, what a name. Brody. What a name for a North Yorkshire lad. I only, you know, I expect to hear that name in Southern Cal, not Northern Yorkshire. But anyway, he'll get us pumped for Harrogate. And after that, we have, or we're supposed to have, we don't know actually we're going to have him because we were supposed to already record with him. And then there was a miscommunication, and we haven't been able to record with him. But hopefully, we'll be talking to the host and producer of Oldham Athletics Podcast, the Boundary Alert System. He's also the board director for the Oldham Athletics Supporters Foundation. He's one of the leaders of the movement to oust the current ownership of the club, the lean, mean dancing machine, Matt Dean. Hopefully he's on. He's supposed to be on. We were supposed to already talk to him, actually, before recording this. But yeah, a little miscommunication. So actually, we don't know if he's going to be on. Stay tuned. You'll be surprised just like us. We'll find out soon.
The Boundary Alert System will go off. We will know when he's here.
Yes. Yes. I love that. All right. So anyway, stay tuned. And then anyway, finally, after Matt Dean, or maybe not after Matt Dean, because maybe Matt Dean isn't here, we have on Statman Chris Latham, who is on a special assignment. He has been commissioned to do one of those expose investigation, Shimmy, on a question that we're all wondering, Shimmy.
It's on everyone's minds, yeah.
It's on everyone's minds. Who is Anonymous, Shimmy? A Twitter user with a phenomenal name, Anonymous, burst on the scene last week. Nobody knows their true identity. So we have hired the best detective in Gloucestershire, Chris Latham, to help us uncover the identity of Anonymous. A lot of conspiracy and speculation out there right now, Shimmy.
So, yeah, the truth is out there. We know that's true.
The truth is out there. Speaking of the truth, some have said that the identity of Anonymous is, in fact, Harvey Bunker. Others have said it's Rob Edwards. Some speculate it might be the classiest man on Twitter, Sean Baker. Others, though, Shimmy, have even accused you, Shimmy, you, of being Anonymous. Is that true, Shimmy? Set the record straight. Are you Anonymous?
You know, as much as I'm so intrigued, I've always been very forthright in public about my love of chickpeas, so I am not Anonymous. Never have been, never will be.
All right. So there you have it, folks. If you believe that, we can at least cross Shimmy off the list. Some great little Twitter interactions there with Anonymous. So we'll see if Chris Latham can get down, can help us find uncover his identity. Anyway, Shimmy, finally, before we get into Kip and Tony and the rest of the show, a massive congratulations to our CEO, Henry, Hammer, and Hank Stalins, who welcomed a little human to the world, Shimmy, Frankie Stalins. Hey, Frankie.
Hey, Frankie.
Hey, how you doing, Frankie, huh? How you doing? How's your mother, Frankie? Hey, Frankie.
I'm being an infant over here.
Hey, keep it down. I'm napping over here, huh? Keep it down. Frankie, hey, so congratulations to Henry.
Yeah, congrats,
Cameron, Hank.
Henry.
Awesome stuff. Shout out to Frankie, future Forest Green Rovers fan. Let's go.
Yeah. Shout out to Henry and his partner. Hope everyone is doing well, mother and son.
Yes. So anyway, before we get into these amazing guests, Chris Hicks, Stone Cold Chris Hicks, Chief Brody, potentially the lean mean dancing machine Matt Dean from Oldham, and hopefully Statman as well. Before we blow your minds with some amazing stats that we're going to tell you in a minute and some poorly formed opinions about what those stats mean, let's go to Kip and Tony, baby. Kip Kowalski here, and I'm joined by Tony Graw, the Bayou baby.
Bonjour.
We go to the new lawn where the gas pirates of Bristol come to town in what many, definitely way more than just two podcasters from America, are calling El Gasico.
El Gasico.
Others call this battle the Battle of the Lettuce because both managers Rob Edwards and Joey Barton have phenomenal hair. The return of ex-FGR player Azza Razmataza Collins, who rejected FGR's contract offer in the summer. And let me tell you, this is going to be spicier than some jalapeno peppers at Mardi Gras.
That in the air, that's spicy.
We go to the 20th minute when Bene Gesserit Stevenson uses the voice to control the motion of the ball. Little dude reference there, Tony.
I say oui, Denny.
And Bene Gesserit finds the real deal, Jamil, who shows he's got wheels, Matt, and channels his fellow Jamaican and Usain Bolt's pass defender, and coolly puts the ball past Jordan, James, Jordan, Belshaw, Belfort, whatever, who's going to need some ludes to forget this one, as the Wolf of Wall Street, Jamil Matthew McConaughey, racks up his ninth goal of the season, and the crowd erupts like a drug-fueled Wall Street broker. CEO.
Car.
When it comes in, parade comes down.
Comes in.
Going down Broadway.
Is
it one-way street?
It's one-way street.
Whichever way I go.
Whichever way I go.
We go to the 36 minute and turn up the heat to a toasted 450 degrees Fahrenheit. Perfect for cooking beignets. When Big Beignet Stevenson delivers a real hot cross bun to find the head of Maddie Stevens. Who nods the ball towards the goal, but this Stevenson-Stevens connection is denied by the crossbar. My love.
Bing bong. We go to the 63rd minute when Godwin Malief merely brushes the side of Harry Anderson, who dives to the floor faster than a red tail hawk on Labor Day, and the official gets in the holiday spirit and sends Doak his second card of the game, and Rovers are down to 10 men.
But don't fear, my dear. Help is not far, Shaw. Because with a Beignet Stevens Baker's Dozens minute left, Ebu Adams fires a shot that is saved by the outfield Anthony Evans, adjudged to be what they call a handball.
Handball.
Ball, oh man. Penalty to the Rovers.
And the real deal, Jamil steps up to the penalty spot, approaches, fires, goal! Like the lamp, baby! Jamil back! Second of the game, 10th of the season, and the South Stand erupts into song! Stop! Jam time! Aim for the corner! It is set! 2-0 scoreline! Gas is set! Wave your hands in the air! Best strike in the league! No other strike can compare! That's it! Jamma scores the winner! Don't look now! Barton's hair's getting thinner! Now move! Slide your rope! Rope's getting hot like a Dale Vince heat pump! Top of the table!
It's how we living in, you know!
You can't touch this! Hey! Can't touch this!
Break it down!
Kip! Tony Graw!
My goodness, man, they must be just living the life out in Gloucestershire. With, you know, two games, right? That the brace from Jamil and Matt, following up on brace from Maddie Stevens.
Yes, sir.
Previous match, man, I could tell the excitement was there.
Oh, well, running from the law, baby. You love to see it. makes the game so much more exciting. Anyway, what a win, man. Look, I ain't no Laurie Martin, Shimmy. I ain't no Chris Latham. I ain't no Mark Hallowell, Shimmy, but I got some stats here.
Okay.
Shimmy Cakes, these are from Near Post and Playmaker Stats. Some phenomenal bombs right here, Shimmy Boy. First, after that match against Bristol Rovers, Jamil Matt, the real deal Jamil, has been directly involved in half, 50% of Forest Green Rovers, 34 league goals this season. He's got 10 goals, 7 assists, 17 total scoring plays. 50% of our scoring, Shimmy, that's crazy. That's more than any other player in League 2. To say he is, you know, we talk about there's so many players that could be our player of the season so far. You know, Billy Hunt came on and said, Luke McGee, totally get that. Luke McGee, which I actually have a great Luke McGee stat coming up as well. Of course, our wing backs, Big Daddy Kane, Nicky Cadden, definitely candidates up the wings. Big Ben Stevenson, the unsung hero, has been phenomenal. Ebu Adams. The maker of beignets. That's right. Ebu Adams, of course, like the heart and soul of the team. Our defense also, any of our defenders, you know, we'll talk about that in a second too. A great stat about them.
Yeah, the team unity has just been insane, right? And man, that goal, like, especially with a goal differential of like 20, where, you know, we have 10 more goals than our closest rival in second. And for Jamma to have that much impact, it's just, man, he had a career season last season. He's just continuing on. I'd love to see it.
He just gets better with time, Shimmy. I was going to say Maddie Stevens, too. Big shout out to the People's Champ, Maddie Stevens, who's just scoring out well. And then you got Jamil Matt out here contributing to 50% of our goals. And not only that, he's also second in assists in third in assists of all 92 teams. That includes the Premier League. So he's tied with some names you might have heard of, Shimmy. You ever heard tell of a man named Paul Pogba?
Yeah, here and there.
Trent Alexander-Arnold. You ever heard tell of that guy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know some TAA for sure.
And Fulham's own Harry Wilson, all tied with Jamil Matt with 7 assists. So he's just having an insane season. He's definitely a candidate up there with, like 10 other guys for player of the season for us. We are so lucky, Shivy. We have so much talent on this team. We are so lucky. We'll see what happens in January. I think leading up to January, we'll have a little preview of that, what we expect to happen, who the big movers and shakers might be. But anyway, hopefully we keep everybody, man. Nothing. I mean, there's no stopping us. In League Two right now, if you look at the form guide, we've got 14 points in our last five games. 1 point away from the perfect 15. We are top of League Two in the form table. We are third in all of England, Shimmy. All of England in points per game. Chelsea are first. Man City are second. Forest Green Rovers. Forest Green Rovers are third.
Incredible.
Insane. These are insane stats, Shimmy. And then you got Big Daddy Kane Wilson, the Wagamama wonder himself. He's completed more dribbles than any defender in all four tiers. Any defender. Everyone. That includes everybody. He's the number one defender in terms of dribbles. And overall, of all players, he's sixth in terms of completed dribbles. Insane. And we're not just scoring goals, Shimmy. If you look at the most consecutive league minutes without conceding in 2021, Shimmy, of all the top four tiers, first place, Jamie Cumming from Gillingham. Second place, Ederson from Man City. Third place, though, Shimmy, right behind Ederson. Right behind Ederson, our very own Luke McGoalkeeper McGee. Third in all of England. Wow. In consecutive league minutes without conceding. That's insane. Also, shout out to Fulham as in fourth place. Merrick Rodak, a.k.a. Rodak Yellow. Shout out to Merrick Rodak. But Shimmy, man, we are just dominating everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's like not just over-reliance on one facet of the team. It just seems like we're so well-balanced. Like you said, defense, midfield, wingbacks, forwards, goals. We're just firing on all cylinders. The only hope is, like, is there a shoe yet to drop? You know, that's always the fear you have as a fan. But man, we don't seem like we're gonna slow down anytime soon. That's what we're all hoping for.
Perfectly said, Shimmy. Man, so Shimmy, we were drawn to this club for the romantic ideal, Shimmy, of making the world more green, saving the world from climate change, improving welfare for animals, ending animal use. But this is a good football team, Shimmy. On top of all the good stuff they do off the pitch, on the pitch, I mean, this is a special team, Shimmy. This is a special team. Dale Vince said recently, he was just in an interview with iPaper Sport. He said, there's no doubt that the better the club performs, the more powerful the message on climate action stands for it to become. We have to be good on both things. We got to be good off the pitch. We got to be good on the pitch. So we give them equal importance. Sustainability and football are like the two legs that we walk on. If either of them are substandard, then we limp. Shimmy, what a quote by Dale Vince. And we ain't limping, Shimmy. We're soaring, baby.
Yeah, man. Just so awesome to see. Like you said, we love soccer. We love the message. So both of them just feed each other. And yeah. Couldn't agree more with Dale Vince on that one. Like, when you can enjoy your success on the pitch, it makes the message of the way the club does things resonate even more, right? Like, the model of being sustainable, the model of being green, it can help you. It's not going to detract from the final product and what you want to achieve as a club.
Exactly, and that's actually exactly what he said later in the interview. He said, we're showing that just because we're sustainable doesn't mean that we can't be a good football team. In fact, sustainability is what is contributing to us being a great football team. So, man, we are so lucky. I mean, speaking of owners, too, we're going to talk, we're going to talk to Matt Dean from Oldham, who's having kind of the opposite experience with their ownership. But, man, we are just so lucky to have Dale Vince as an owner, because this team, the leadership of this team is unbelievable.
Yeah, and Richard Hughes and Rob Edwards and Richie Kyle and everybody, man, what a club of just great forward-thinking people.
New father Henry,
yes, of course.
The leadership is unbelievable, and that's where it all starts at the top. Like, yes, the players are the ones on the field that have to produce, but it's without that leadership, we don't have those players, and we don't have those players performing at the level that they're performing. So big shout out to everyone, man. This is such a great club. So, anyway, let's move on before we get it. Before we get teary eyed, let's go to our guest, Shimmy. So first up, Shimmy, we got the head coach of the Forest Green Rovers women's team, an incredible human being, stone cold Chris Hicks, Shimmy.
Yes, what an amazing guy, and just what a great conversation.
The stone cutter himself. All right, let's go to Chris Hicks. Boom. We welcome to the pod the second most handsome first team manager at Forest Green Rovers. No offense, but your competition is Rob. Rob might be the most handsome man in England. He used to coach at Cheltenham, we heard. We're not sure if that's true. And he left for greener and more sustainable grass of Forest Green. I don't know if that's true. We'll ask him. He's always in the mix. He's building this FGR team. brick by brick. Played drummer, so, little known fact, played drummer in the 70s arena rock band Styx, teaching his ladies new tricks. Welcome to the pod, the old ball coach, the stone cutter, head coach of the Forest Green Rovers women's team, Chris Hicks. Welcome to the pod, Chris.
Thanks very much. Great intro.
How we feel?
That's opinionated about Robin Hanson. So, yeah.
You're right. That's very true. Subjective.
Yeah.
You're right. We'll put out a poll. How are we feeling, Chris?
Yeah, all good.
Good. How's the season going, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, the start of the season, we sort of got a promoted up into the higher league. And so we found that, it's a very challenging league we're in, but, one we're really, really enjoying.
Beautiful. It's the Southwest Regional Women's Premier Football League. That's right.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And what tier is that? So Shyam and I are still pretty dumb and new. We're trying to understand the whole pyramid system. What tier is that?
I think it was tier 3, tier 4.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Tier 4, I believe, to be fair. Tier 4.
Awesome. And so how many teams go up? So I should mention, this pod is always very ignorant, but this is the especially ignorant time. How many teams get promoted from this league? How many teams get relegated?
It's usually two either way, but it just depends. Sometimes teams can't fulfill fixtures or whatever, so it just dependent. But I mean, the set goal is two up, two down.
Ah, okay.
And has COVID affected it a lot? What's that, Sean?
Has
COVID affected the ability of clubs to fulfill their fixtures, or has that been something that has been handled pretty well, you think?
Yeah, the last two seasons, they've both been cut short. So we're fingers crossed, hopeful that this season will be a full season. But the last two seasons were cut short by COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, let's hope. We're all hoping that this year will be a full season. Well, when does the season run until?
It keeps going because there's cup games, and then we've got an ab. We're in, been in cups, etc. So the games then get pushed back a little bit. So I believe we're probably looking into March. The weather's going to play a factor as well. But I would say the end of March is hopeful that the season will finish.
Okay, end of March. Beautiful. And speaking of cups, I'm so confused about that too. I know we had the Vitality FA Cup, but now, and this Sunday, although this pod's going to be coming out way past this Sunday, so
GFA Cup.
Two Sundays ago, we had the GFA Cup, where we, of course, won 11-0. How many cups are there? How many cups are we involved in?
Yeah, there's two. There's the Women's FA Cup, and then we play in the Gloucestershire County Cup. So we're in Gloucestershire, so they play a County Cup for all the teams around Gloucestershire,
that's cool. That's exciting. So who are the biggest teams, I guess, in Gloucestershire besides us, of course?
I would say you're very much looking at Cheltenham Town.
Uh-huh. Okay. And speaking Rivals. Of Cheltenham Town, is what we said in the intro true? Did you used to coach there?
Yeah, I was coaching there for 18 months. Really, really enjoyed it. It was just at that time I got a role within the FA. So it was just trying to juggle, and it's just too much at that time, so I sort of went with the FA and left Cheltenham at that point to carry on with the FA, which I stayed 4 years with.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And what awesome. Sort of stuff did you do with the FA?
I was supporting and mentoring coaches, so I'd go into clubs and support the coaches and help the club as well. Towards the end, my role was really in diversity and inclusion. Working in that area was my work.
Oh, that's awesome. We actually have a listener question about that, which we'll ask in a little bit.
Yeah.
I just want to check one of the other things that we said in the intro to see if it was true. Did you actually play drummer in the 70s band Styx, or did we just make that up because it rhymed with your name?
No, I reckon you just made that up.
So I want you to walk us through your journey a little bit. So you just kind of mentioned it there, but how did you get into coaching even to begin with, and then how did you end up here at Forest Green Rovers?
Well, I started coaching about 9 years ago. you know, it's the same old Fabra thing, watching the sun. Got sort of roped in a little bit. I had a sort of went through my levels, got a break, went with the Bristol Rovers development team. Being a Bristol City supporter, that was quite difficult. I used to put the tracksuit in the shed out the way. I went to Bristol Rovers and then went to Cheltenham, and with Cheltenham as well, I was working with the West Brom Development Centre, West Brom and Albion Development Centre. So had 4 great years with West Brom, and then, you know, sort of balanced in with the FA work as well. Then I joined Forest Green about 18 months ago.
Oh, that's awesome. And what made you want to come here? Why was Forest Green the right move in your coaching career? Does it have to do with the altitude of the stadium? Because you were at West Brom, the second highest altitude in the UK, just like Kane. Yeah. Now you're at Forest Green, the highest altitude in the UK.
No, I mean, they're local to me. To be fair, I was at Cheltenham and really, really enjoyed it at Cheltenham, Town Ladies. And like I say before, it was just that with my FA work, it was just a little bit. But coming back into football, you know, really enjoyed my time there. Forest Green Ladies role come up. So applied for it and was accepted. So, it's a good fit.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. And so you said you're a Bristol City fan?
Yeah, it's 44 years. It's one of them when your father takes you when you're 8, and unfortunately, yeah. You know, I've had to live with it. So 44 years.
Of the two big Bristol teams, I think you've picked the right one.
There's only one big Bristol team.
I love to hear it.
Hattie. Your midfielder is also a big Bristol City fan.
I think there's a couple in the camp, to be fair. City supporters, you know, it's good to see that their sense is good.
I love it. Good to see their sense is good.
Yeah, you know they're good, going to be good decision makers on the pitch.
Absolutely. Bring that on, right? Yeah, but not with their form at the moment. At the form at the moment, it's a struggle and it's painful. But you know, it's one of those.
Actually, we're getting way off topic here. But I was just curious about the Bristol City Bristol Rovers rivalry. Like, dude, Bristol City does. You joke there, but Bristol City does seem like a way more massive club than Bristol Rovers. The Bristol Rovers seem like kind of like the little brother. I hope no one hears this from Bristol Rovers. But is there like a big rivalry there because they're such a smaller club from your end anyway?
Yeah, I think, you know, you get that when you're into those areas. You get, you know, your Man United, Man City's, Everton's, Liverpool's, Bristol. I know we're lower, but you get your Bristol City, Bristol Rovers. So I think when you've got an area with two teams close by, there's always going to be that little bit, you know, it joking and that. So it's all good. Yeah.
Like us and our little brother, Cheltenham Town.
Yeah,
that's the hierarchy.
That's just right, but it is, you know, it's just that little bit of banter, you know. I know a lot of people from Rovers and they're great people.
So
it seems like you walk that line really well. You walk the line really well between the rivals and the enemies and like kind of taking the banter against spirit, right?
Yeah. No.
So how's your experience been so far at Forest Green in your 18 months of coaching?
Yeah, it's been really, really good. We got a fantastic group of players, absolutely fantastic. You know, and it's easy, you know, as a coach, it's great when you've got them players, you know, who come into training, you know, they're happy, they're at training, they're enjoying it. And, you know, it just makes it so, you know, so enjoyable for everyone, for the coaches, for the players. You know, we've got a great environment going on. So it's just, you know, it's always enjoyable. Match days, training, etc. is really, really good.
We had the honor of talking to Charlie and Hattie, and they were just unbelievable. Just crazy wisdom, crazy maturity for being like in their young 20s, like their lower 20s. I definitely didn't have that wisdom or maturity. I still don't have that wisdom and maturity. I definitely didn't have it in my young 20s. I was blown away by them. Actually, and on that note, I was also super impressed with the nicknames on the women's team. Do you have a favorite nickname of a player?
Not really. I mean, quite a lot of them are sort of, you know, called by their surnames a little bit and that, like, but yeah, no, it's, nah.
I got to go Dim Shady, my friend. Dim Shady.
Oh, yeah, saying that, I've seen that one come up this week. I've seen that one come up this week on a message from Hattie, and I thought, yeah, actually, you're probably right. You know, that is a great one.
Yeah. Oh, they listed them all. I don't remember all of them, but I have to say the women's team was so much more creative than the men's team in terms of these nicknames. So that men's team, if you're listening, you got to step your game up, because the women's team is blowing you away. The men's team is just like Youngie, Tomo, you know, Jordy, just like names with like an E at the end. But the women's team, they stepped it up. So I want to know, what's your style as a coach? Are you like a motivator? Are you like a player's coach, woman manager? Are you a tactician? How, Chris, will the historian someday describe Chris Hicks on his Wikipedia page? And by historians here, I mean me and Sean when we create your Wikipedia page.
Yeah, I hope it's all of them things that you mentioned. But I mean, first and foremost, it's got to be enjoyable. It's got to be enjoyable. The level we're playing at, you know, it's got to be fun. It's got to be enjoyable. You want people to come to training. You want people to play for Forest Green. So first and foremost is creating, that's wherever I've coached, is creating that environment that people come and people can enjoy playing football.
And we heard that from Hattie yesterday, where it's like she's had that journey to the US playing collegiately here, but you know, wasn't quite sure how it was going to be going back to the UK, but she seems like she's really enjoying her football now. So this credit comes down to you, Chris, that you've created that environment. And when we see matches that are like 6-0 against the Marine Academy, when we see the highlights, we have a lot of fun watching it too. We're like, man, these girls can really play.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally. They are very, very good players. There's no doubt about that playing. But I'm very fortunate that I've got a great group of coaches around me. You know, who sort of like got the same philosophy of what we want to be, and that, so that just really makes life easier, having those coaches, and you know, we're all on board together on it with the players, with the coaching staff, etc. So no, that's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, both Hattie and Charlie kind of mentioned how they kind of fell out of love of football, and then they kind of, now that they're at Forest Green, they've kind of fallen back in love with football, and they are absolutely enjoying their living their best life, their best football, like their football career right now. They're having a blast. They even mentioned, like, you know, kid, you know, people their age are going out Saturday nights and then Sunday, as they said, having a lie-in, but not them. You know, that they love this work so much that they're like sacrificing their Saturday nights. So they wake up early on Sunday, they take a 3-hour bus ride to, I don't know, somewhere, and they love every minute of it. They're totally loving this experience, and I think, like Sham said, that's in part a credit to you and your staff for creating and fostering that kind of culture. I guess what kind of strategies do you think you have to like foster that kind of like positive, enjoyable atmosphere around this club?
Yeah, I think you've always got to be honest with players and transparent with players. And then, like I say, it just creating that we let players play. You know, everything we do is positive, even if it's something that we need to address, we'll try and put that into a positive manner to try and solve them problems with all of us. Rather, you know, we don't speak negatives. Everything we do is positives. And like I say, we're Charlie and Atty, great role models for the players. So, you know, we've got some players like that in the team who's are experienced players, but they're also great role models.
Oh, that's beautiful. We totally got that from the two that we met. And we want to ask you a little bit about kind of who these players are off the pitch. But you mentioned kind of the leadership there. Chris Latham, FGR Women's super fan and our official FGR Women's correspondent. He said, I imagine that Charlie is a coach's dream because of how hard she works, how vocal she is. But we asked Charlie that, and Charlie said, I think Chris will disagree. I think I might be a coach's nightmare because of how vocal. Which one is it, Chris?
Believe me, Charlie is a great, great person. First and foremost, great, great person. And, you know, we like to have the banter. You know, we few of us, you know, have the wines with it and that. But she's good for banter, Charlie, and that. Like, but yeah, we can hook her a little bit as well with a bit of banter. But no, she's a great, great person.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, we totally got that sense from speaking with her yesterday, and you know, not just her, but I think both, you know, Charlie and Hattie exuded the culture that they described and that you guys have built, you know, where you mentioned that everyone is there and positive for one another and you're building each other up as opposed to, you know, breaking each other down. That's, it really comes across. We were like, we're just really amazed.
They were just so complimentary of each other and other teammates. You could really, it's just a completely positive culture. And it sounds like you've been at the head of fostering that. It's a beautiful thing. What do you love about this job, Chris? What do you love about this role?
I think, you know, you can go out and, you know, you're part of a group. First and foremost, we're all as one, the coaches and the team, you're all as one. You all want to achieve the same goals and aims and objectives and that. And so it's great to be able to work with people in a group that we all want the same thing, and where we all want the same thing. It just creates that great environment, you know, an enjoyable, you know, you look forward to coming to training, you look forward to match days, etc. So it's just what everyone creates at Forest Green Women, to be fair, that just makes it really, really enjoyable.
Oh, I love that. And on that note, like, what kind of is the big goal, or what's like kind of the long-term goal of this club, and what's the strategy to get there?
Yeah, I think, like I mentioned earlier, this league we've gone in has been a big jump from last season, really, really big jump. And that, so, you know, we've started first couple of games was a little difficult. We sort of, from there, we've been able to address a few things. You know, we've become a lot better organised, if you like, in being able to react to situations that happen on a match day. And so, you know, we started to come in a little bit that we're holding our own well now. I think this year we want to be, you know, able to sustain this league, you know, so to stay into this league. We're building all through this season. And I think next season is a really time then to go and get promotion. You know, so if we can just build that to we're in a good platform rather than just jumping up to it now. You know, let's build these, you know, blocks below us, make sure we are sustainable going forward, get that culture right. And I think, you know, next year we come in knowing exactly what to expect. And, you know, we can really hit the ground running straight from the off.
Oh, that's a beautiful strategy. And right now it seems it's still early. Like you're six games in, right? Or seven games in, maybe. No, six games in. And you're sixth in the table, right in the middle of the table. So it sounds like you're kind of so far hitting that strategy. And maybe on your way up, because we're on a hot streak right now. I want to ask a question, though, about the table. I forgot to ask this earlier. I don't know how to pronounce their name. Bideford? How do they have negative 6 points?
Apparently, they didn't. I'm not sure. So I believe they didn't field a team for the first two games for whatever reasons. I'm not totally sure, but that's what I believe it to be.
You don't just get a zero. If you don't field a team, you actually get deducted.
Yeah, I don't know what the implications was. I just believe they didn't play the first two games. I don't know what the implications, why, etc. So obviously the league's fought for whatever reason that there was a 6-point deduction. But I don't really know, to be honest.
Oh, I got you.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, going back to what you said, Chris, it's just as supporters, it's great to hear you you know, have this long-term kind of planning and say, you know what, we want to make sure we sustain where we are now and build a strong foundation for future growth and future promotions. And we got that from speaking to both Hattie and Charlie yesterday too, is that it's not just, you know, Forest Green Rovers. It has the reputation of like, oh yeah, you know, the vegan club, sustainable eco stuff. Everybody, you know, everywhere kind of recognizes that brand. But we're just so amazed that like, that ethos goes through from the, you know, environmental stuff to the, you know, the food to actually people, right? Like you want to have football that is attractive and great to play and great to watch, but not just have it be a flash in the pan, right? Really build it and grow it. And Hattie and Charlie yesterday were like, you know, when we're there, we feel like we're growing as people. you know, we're sustainable and we have this joy of football that's not just like, I'm playing, so that's why I'm happy and that sort of thing. It's like they really feel that camaraderie with their teammates. So we just love to see that the sustainability, it's not just a buzzword, right? Or like a brand name or something. You guys really live it, which is awesome.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, in time, you know, hopefully we leave that little bit of legacy now for future. What we're trying to do, that, you know, there'll be other players, other coaches, etc., who can enjoy this with Forest Green Rovers. So it's just building it in the right way that we stay sustainable within the team, with how we approach things, etc. So it's always there when we're going forward, how we're trying to go forward.
Oh, that's brilliant. We have a listener question here from our man Chris Latham, Statman, which I mentioned already before. He says, from the sidelines, you kind of answered this a little bit, but maybe you can expand on it. From the sidelines, it seems like you have a really good group of players, both personality and talent. How much difference does that make for you as a coach in getting your ideas across?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, they're great, you know. It really, really helps when everyone's taking on. You know, we try to solve problems together. So it's not just always a coach's thing to solve. The players are playing the game. So it's a two-way conversations all the time. You know, when they go on the pitch, we've got leaders on the pitch. You know, he's problem solving on the pitch. We're on the sidelines trying to help problem solve as well. So like I say, it is a really combined thing that we do. And so it's, you know, hopefully players feel it's easy to come and talk to us in the same, which it is, and it's the same vice versa. Like, so it's just, you know, we work together to solve these problems as and when on the pitch.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And you mentioned that we have another listener question here about kind of what you mentioned before as your previous role, kind of mentoring other coaches. They want to know how important is it in building the women's game to bring through new coaches?
Yeah, it's really, really important through all of football. You know, I've worked a lot in youth football, and you know, at youth football, that's probably where I want, you know, I want it to be enjoyment, because first and foremost, you want these players to keep coming back and playing. So I think, you know, when I was doing the FA mentoring, the role there was to help these coaches, you know, to have that positive mindset to go out, so that when we get players, they enjoy their football, is in a safe, positive environment, so that they keep playing, they just keep playing, enjoying football. And so part of my role really was to help enhance that in clubs, to keep these players, you know, playing football and enjoying it and saying it out like that.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So what can we, you know, as fans do to help support this team, to help grow the women's game and grow the women's squad at Forest Green?
Yeah, I think, you know, the last few games we've had Forest Green supporters coming up and watching, which is absolutely fantastic. You know, like you say, Chris, great guy, beats the drum for us as well, to getting people to come along. So, you know, the more people that we can get to come to our matches, be absolutely fantastic. I mean, we played in the FA Cup at the New Lawn, and, you know, it was great to have that many people there watching, etc. So getting those opportunities to keep growing this team is vitally important to us.
Oh, that's beautiful. Sham and I, we wish we could be there. You know what? Oh, crap. You said the season ends in March, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Unless we get a really bad winter, and then we could be in May.
We're rooting for a bad winter, because Sham and I are planning to come over in April, and it would be awesome if we could come to a game. So, winter, let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. Perhaps come to a training section. We'll put you both in goal.
You'll really get your defender's confidence up, because you'll have your defenders scoring like 4 or 5 goals in the first couple minutes.
That's right. You put us both in goal, it's going to be way worse than anything you have there.
Yeah, no, so, it'd just be penalty shootouts.
I love it. Although, we're Americans. Of all the positions in the outfield, I feel like goalkeeper is the one we would be least bad at, because we're used to like using our hands in ball sports, not our feet. So I think we're gonna, if you put us in the outfield, we would be awful. But anyway, Just two more questions here, Chris, and then we'll let you get out of here. So if there's, you know, just one message or just one lesson that these young women, you know, are gonna take from you, what do you hope that message or that lesson is?
I think it's just to enjoy football. Enjoy football. Play, you know, and enjoy the football first and foremost. Like, that's all you can say. You know, if you enjoy something, you go back and you play again or you do something again. So you've got enough, go in there and be, you know, enjoying your football first and foremost to everything.
Oh, it's beautiful. And, you know, it's also a great analogy for life. Like, enjoy life too. Both football and life, you know, you can't take them too seriously. You got to enjoy them. That's how you're going to get the most out of them. That's how you're going to also perform the best in both. So I love that. And that message is clearly coming across from talking to Hattie and Charlie. So well done to you there. The players are hearing your message and it's resonating with them, and they're living that. So that's awesome. Last question here, Chris, last question. So, you know, I think back to all back when I played sports, American football, and basketball. You know, I remember all my coaches, Coach Tuck, Coach Goody, Coach Gunn, you know, Coach Ford. I remember them all, and I remember so many things about them. There's some kind of, you know, special relationship that you have with your coach that lasts forever. I mean, this is years ago. And I guess, how do you want your players to remember you 20 years down the line, 30 years down the line? How should they remember Coach Hicks?
Yeah, I just think hopefully an enthusiastic, positive coach, and try to do things for all the best reasons. And if they ever see me in the pub, buy me a pint.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, great. Yes. A great goal to have, you know.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's a great. It's funny, but it's also, you know, a great way to put it. Like, yeah. Like, if I saw any of my old coaches, I'd buy them a pint immediately and thank them for everything they did. That's beautiful, yeah. Chris. And I think you're making, based on our conversation with the players, you're making that impact. Which is awesome. So, Chris, we'll let you go on that. Thank you so much for what you do. Thank you for coming on the pod. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you. Everyone listening, go out there, support this team. Get to what's the ground called that you play at? Chalford? No.
Chalford. Chalford. Chalford.
Chalford. All right, I'm gonna edit that part out. But anyway, get down to Chalford. When they come to the new lawn, you definitely got to get to the new lawn on those special days. Go support this women's team. They are awesome. They are so exciting to watch from the highlights that we've seen. From everything
and
we've
Chris,
heard.
Chris, definitely. Like, you know, we're new to Forest Green as a whole, you know, just a couple of seasons as fans. And we weren't quite sure. It's like, oh man, you know, how is this club going to be? Is there going to be this huge difference? But you've made believers of us, the women's squad, your philosophy, the types of human beings you're helping to craft and chisel yourself. I know you work in stone, but it seems like you're also shaping these young women so well. But like, yeah, it's just so awesome to see. And you have two ardent supporters in us now.
We really appreciate it. We appreciate, you know, all the support we get. We really do.
Well, stone cold Chris Hicks, thank you so much, sir.
Great, guys, thanks very much.
Chris Hicks, what a beautiful man, a beautiful stone cutter, and a beautiful head coach, Shimmy.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, man. Just what a joy to talk to him. And I wish we could have actually heard more from him, because I feel like, you know, he's a little bit guarded, but we got to speak to Chris a little bit more after and just saw and what a funny guy he is. And just a great human all around.
I wish we would have kept recording, but after we stopped recording, maybe this is why, you know, we all get more loose when we're not recording. Yeah. But oh my God, we talked to him for a lot longer. And he was hilarious. He was so funny. anyway, it was great. And I could tell, you can see also like why the women love playing for him, because he just creates this atmosphere of love, but also just a fun atmosphere where the women want to come to play. You know, he talks about the banter that he has with Charlie. Right. Great. Anyway, awesome. Awesome little.
Yeah, and just even his background, insight. Right? With the diversity, working with the FA on diversity, you can tell our club has made a great decision to bring somebody that's just so aware and cognizant of that in. And then when he's in, he seems like he's just 100% supportive and encouraging. Yes. And I can see why, like you said, you know, all of our women stars want to play for him.
Exactly. Yeah, man. Well, anyway, let's get on. Let's go on. Thank you so much, Chris Hicks, for joining us, man. Awesome to chat with you. Oh, I don't know if... I forget if we recorded this part or not, but he invited us to come train with the women's team when we come over there in England, Jimmy. So we got to do that. We got to go train with the women's team. It's going to be hilarious content because they are going to smoke us. They are going to smoke us. We are going to... They need a confidence boost. They will get it when we come over there and train with their team. Anyway, anyway, Jimmy, let's go on to Chief Brody Bro from Harrogate. Let's go talk to the bro.
Let's go.
Chief Brody. Harrogate Town, baby. All right, let's go talk to Chief Brody. Get us excited for Harrogate. And then we'll talk to, hopefully, the Lean Dean, whatever, Lean Mean Dancing Machine Matt Dean from Oldham. Anyway, let's go. Harrogate Town, Brody. Boom. Hey, guys. This is not Chief Brody, if you couldn't tell. This is Nathan. Chief Brody from Harrogate Town texted us like 5 minutes before we're about to record. Something came up. He can't record with us now. We tried to reschedule for tomorrow. Couldn't fit it in. Couldn't get match our schedules. So hopefully, next time around we play Harrogate Town, we'll get the kid, Chief Brody from the beaches of Harrogate Town, on. But anyway, no Chief Brody. So we built it all up. Build up. We hyped him up. He's not here with us. It's okay, because we're going to move on to... what are we going to move on to? Whatever's next. Here we go. Back to the pod. Next up, from Oldham Athletic, from the Boundary Park podcast, from... He's a part owner of Oldham Athletic, because he owns a fraction of the club, 0.003%, if my math... Did my math right, as a member of the Oldham Athletic Supporters Foundation. Anyway, well, actually, I don't know. We'll see. Either now is Matt Dean... Or now is an outro saying we didn't have Matt Dean. So stay tuned in the next couple seconds. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Boom, Matt Dean.
To be continued.
Maybe. To be continued. And it's Nathan here. Back again. This is not Matt Dean, as you can tell by hearing my voice. Matt Dean could not record with us today either. We had another scheduling conflict. I'm starting to think these guys just did a little research, a little due diligence, learned about this pod, and they're like, I do not want to associate myself with that. I got a reputation uphold. I got to come up with something. I got to get out of this. But anyway, hopefully we'll get him back. Actually, because the game's not till Saturday with Oldham, hopefully we can reconnect with our guy Matt and drop a little Oldham proper preview, maybe a little quick 20-minute pod Thursday, Friday. We'll see. Hopefully we can work it out with him. But if not, we'll get him next time around, baby. All right, let's get back to the pod. I think Chris Latham is next, but who knows? Is he going to be here? Is he going to cancel? Who knows? Who knows? Let's find out. Here we go. And we're back. Did we have Matt Dean or not? I don't know. I guess you know. Well, if we did have Matt Dean, thank you so much, Matt, for joining us. If we didn't, we'll get it next time. Actually, Shimmy, well, we haven't officially announced it yet, and my wife is... in her Persian culture, I guess it's bad luck to... She tells me it's bad luck to say if you're traveling without actually... Before having booked it.
Yeah.
But April is when we're planning to come.
Yes.
And it's going to be Oldham at home and then Bristol Rovers away.
Wow.
And so hopefully we can connect with Matt. If we didn't connect with him just now, hopefully we did. But if we didn't connect with him, hopefully we can connect with him ahead of the Oldham game at home in April, which we'll be hopefully in attendance at. We gotta book our flights for that, Jimmy. We should do that like this week so we can make it official.
Yeah, lock it in that we were committed.
Let's lock it in, baby. Uh-oh, Chief Brody, what's up? He just texted me. What do you say? Oh, no. Chief Brody just messaged me saying he can't record today. Oh. So maybe we will or maybe we won't have Chief Brody. We don't know. Maybe we did have Chief Brody. Maybe we didn't. We don't know. Stay tuned. Oh, no, you already found out if we had him or not. Anyway.
Listen, this is obviously Chris Hicks pulling the scenes back in the background as a stone cutter.
Let's go.
Toying with our podcast.
I love it. I love it. Well, maybe we had no guests on this podcast. We don't know yet.
Hey, keeping it fresh. Keeping it fresh with no guests.
That's right.
You know, Kip and Tony.
Just Kip and Tony. As we say, over promise, under deliver. That's the Heaven's Devils. Difference.
Guarantee. It's our guarantee.
Over promise, under deliver. Okay. Well, now maybe we have Chris Latham. Who knows? Who knows at this point? Are we going to have Chris Latham? Let's see. Next up. But let's see. Whatever. Chris Latham, are you on? Are you not on? We'll see. To uncover the identity of Anonymous. Let's see. I think we should just cancel on Chris at this point.
Sure. Yeah. Don't make him, force him to,
Curry after
be
a
the,
game.
Carry the show. Be the only guest. Anyway, well, whatever.
Unless he wants to talk to us. Because we're very lonely, so I would take the call.
We are, because our Matt, mean, lean, mean, Matt Dean, whatever, left us. Chief Brody, something came up. He just said he's got to record. I guess we'll do that tomorrow. Maybe, whatever. I don't know. Live recording here. Live things happening. Anyway, let's close out the show, Shimmy. Let's close out. No, sorry. Chris Latham. Let's go to Chris Latham, then we'll close out. Chris Latham, boom. Stat man. We have back on the pod Statman Chris Latham, who is on a special assignment. He has been commissioned to do an expose, an investigation into the question that's on all of our minds, which is, who is Anonymous? A new Twitter user with a phenomenal name, Anonymous, has burst onto the scene last week. Brilliant name, yes. Nobody knows their true identity, so we have hired the best detective in Gloucestershire, Chris Latham, to help us uncover the identity of Anonymous. There's a lot of conspiracies, a lot of speculation out there. Some say it's Rob Edwards. Some say it's Harvey Bunker. Some say it's the classiest man on Twitter, Sean Baker. Some had even accused our very own Shyam Prasad Mukundan, a.k.a. Shimmy Shakes, of being Anonymous. He set the record straight earlier on the pod, Chris, that he said he is defiantly not Anonymous. So, Chris, what have you gathered so far? Oh, by the way, Chris, first, how are you? How are you doing, Chris?
I'm good, thanks. Good. I'm privileged to be in this position. I've watched a lot of crime dramas, and I feel like this has all been built into this moment, right?
Yeah. What should we call you? Should we call you PC Chris Latham? DDI Chris Latham? What is the proper title for you?
I don't know. This is a real good question, isn't it? And this is probably the first hurdle in my investigation is coming up with my name. I feel like something hard-hitting, like DI, DCI, DCI. Let's go. Yeah, there's probably a suitable acronym that people can call me using those initials. I'll leave that to their imagination.
Perfect.
I love it. All right, DCI Latham, baby. So DCI Latham, what do you have for us?
Well, first of all, I'm in the incident room. I've set up a special incident room here where we will be conducting investigations.
Sorry, just because our listeners can't see you. Right behind him on the wall, there's a bunch of like pins and pictures and
He's removed all the pictures of his family and loved ones and replaced it with corkboard.
Yes.
And string, insane amounts of string.
There's a lot of string. Yeah. There's a lot of string. Yeah, so it's not really helped that much yet in terms of there's lots of string. I don't know what they really use it for, but one day it's going to help me crack the case. But like you say, there's been a lot of questions raised, hasn't there? Who is it? Shimmy has been named once, and you know the Twitter account Anonymous, which is a great name, and they deserve some credit and plaudits for that. They have done some Shimmy gifts.
Trying to throw people off the trail. I saw that.
This is
up in a lot of group chats. There's a lot of people. I've started off by writing down a list of potential people that have been linked to this crime. There is a long list.
I also like how we're classifying it as a crime now.
It's a crime.
It's a crime.
I want to hear the list in a second, but yeah, I remember that Lee Pitts, I believe it was, in a group chat, suggested that it might be Shimmy because of the Shimmy Shake that the character or that the Twitter user kept doing. They know that Shyam lives in Harlem. Harlem known for the Harlem Shake. Yeah. And plus his name is Shimmy. It just all fits perfectly together, the Shimmy Shake.
A little too perfectly. I think that was the issue. A little
too perfectly, yes. I know I want to hear all the people who were involved, Chris, but I know Gary Hoffman was another person who was accused. He's the father, of course, of the legendary vlogger, Cam Hoffman. Husband of the legendary fan, Kay Hoffman, and son-in-law of the most legendary fan, Grandma. Actually, I don't know her last name is not Hoffman. Whatever her name is, Cam's
Nan.
Grandma, basically.
It's just Nan.
Nana. Anyway, so Chris, who are some of the suspects here?
You listed off all of the a lot of them there because everyone has been accused. Brown has been accused. I think the rebuttal there was that she wouldn't know how to set it up unless Cam was involved. Kay's been accused. There's even Kay and Gary were linked together by someone, which is in England, a marital crime is kind of like juicy news hitting
Hitting the tabloids. Yeah.
Sean Baker of famously kicked off of Twitter, of course.
Yes.
I can't confirm or deny that he's on Twitter under a pseudonym now. He's been linked. You guys have been linked. Someone asked me if it was me, and it's definitely not me. So I'm nowhere nearer to the truth, I feel like someone is going to get in contact with me and ask me to meet in like a dark car park somewhere and to make sure I turn off all recording equipment before I go in for a conversation. And that's going to blow this wide open, because we want to know who it is. Hey, but first of all, as a detective, whatever I said I was, DCI Latham, I should encourage the person to come forward and hand themselves in. Yeah. Let us know who it is.
On the pod, maybe.
You're only making life harder for yourself also, the more we talk about you. Just keep that in mind. Your life will become more miserable the more you feature on the Heaven's Devils. DCI Latham can attest to that.
I love that. Dylan Banks, too. I remember he was one who was accused as well. He's claimed it wasn't him.
John's been linked, a.k.a. Yes. JK. So there's a lot of people that have been linked. Mark Cooper's name has been thrown in the ring at one point.
There was a really suspicious amount of time between Henry Stalin's, the birth of his son, when they posted the photo. Could Frankie, perhaps?
Yes. Oh, that's a good one. Could it be Frankie Stalin's, the newborn?
No one would ever suspect him.
Yeah, he would be the last person to suspect. That's interesting theory, Shum. Interesting. All right. go ahead, Chris. And Frank.
No, evidently I've not really got very far with this investigation, but by the next time I speak to you, I will have blown this case wide open. We'll have some leads.
Let's go. Well, this is just the intro. We have just assigned you to this really important job. So stay tuned. We're waiting on the edge of our seats here. Is it
DCI Latham? He's going to go rogue. He's going to have to rough some people up. He's not going to play by the rules, but he's going to get his results.
That's all that matters. That's all we care about. Throw the ethics out the window, Frankie Stalins. I think that's a good shout there, Shimmy. That's my new leading contender, Frankie Stalins.
Listen, younger kids are fluent in social media, man.
Exactly.
Mean game. So I definitely better than me at GIF and mean games. I would give Frankie Stalins that honor.
Yeah, that's what someone said. Someone said it's got to be Shimmy with all the Shimmy Shake GIFs. But I said I don't think Shimmy is a GIF guy. Like he enjoys GIF, but I don't think he uses a GIF.
I don't. And like I said, I would never be anonymous because I've been very forthright in public about my love of chickpeas and all chickpea-based products in the past. So I just wouldn't. I couldn't do it. You know, I couldn't go by that name. But one thing I did notice, I don't know if you noticed the cover photo on the Twitter account, it was a Guy Fawkes mask, right?
Yes.
So I'm just wondering what, you know, until DCI Latham tracks him down and brings him to justice.
I was just going to say,
we don't want to say that, right? Until they're brought to justice.
Could it be?
What sort of mischief might Anon Hummus be up to? What do they have planned? That's the one thing that's keeping me up at night.
I think that's what we're all wondering, and you know, at this time, I don't think we can rule anything in our own, can we? Harvey Bunker just throwing a name out there, you know, could be linked somehow. I feel like I'm worried that this is, you know, I'm going to throw myself in this, and I've seen some cop dramas where, like, you know, I forget to go to work, my real job. I forget to kind of, you know, where am I going to end up at the end of this? That'll be fun to watch and find out for sure.
I love it. Oh man, I love Anonymous. He's taking the world by storm. He's got 109 followers already. He just joined a couple days ago. We don't know their gender. Their identity. We don't know nothing. It could be a collective. Yes.
You know,
I want to throw Beck Pan's name into the ring too. The goalkeeper for the Forest Green Rovers women's team, Beck Pan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm going to treat everyone with suspicion. And Shimmy, I hadn't mentioned that it could be a collective of people publicly. But that was one line of inquiry. How would you know that?
Oh, yeah.
I've
also watched a lot of cop dramas.
I'm just going to say, he's got so many shimmy drifts. GIFs. Anyway, we should get off here, but he's got like seven shimmy GIFs in a row. This is fantastic. All right, well, let's close out there. DCI Latham is on the case. He will get us results next week.
Hopefully by next week we'll have
an update. With Anon Hummus. Maybe we can get Anon Hummus on if we conceal their identity, give them a different voice.
And Chris, I mean, we were probably just going to put, I don't know if you've ever seen this American show, I don't know if it's syndicated in the UK called Law and Order. Yeah, it's got the famous like famous like gavel.
Oh, I think that's got to be the intro music.
Yeah, is that going to be the intro, or is there? Do you have a favorite cop drama? What music would you love? What would you think would be featured over DCI Latham?
That's a great question. I don't know. Something original. Come on.
Okay. Fair enough. Not trying to go cliche here.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'd have to give that some thought. I think I'm going to probably spend the whole time just thinking about what tune and what title I should be given.
So next week when we come back, the update will be what song your theme song should be. All right. I like
yeah.
that.
And oh, also, you got to make progress on the
bonnet of my car.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. Well, Chris Latham, DCI Latham, thank you so much for your service. Not all heroes wear capes. We appreciate you, DCI Latham. And until next week. All right, we're coming out of Chris Latham now. Let's just close out this show, Shimmy.
Yeah.
It's all been all over the place. Did we have 3-4 guests? Did we have 0 guests? We don't know at the time of this recording. You'll know because you're listening to it, and it's at the end of the show. Shimmy, let's get out of here. But first, before we do, we got to make a prediction. What's happening in Harrogate? What's happening with Oldham Athletics, Shimmy? First, Harrogate Town. I'm going 3-0. Dominant on hat trick, Shimmy. What do you got?
Ooh, I mean, Harrogate, they're good, man. The later hosts, they rocked through Oktoberfest. They're keeping it up in December. I say we win 2-1. I'm say 2-1. One goal each from Jamil and Maddie Stevens. It's going to take down the Hosen.
Take down the Hosen, baby. Let's go. All right, and then on Saturday, a.k.a. Catterday, if you have a cat, we have Oldham Athletic. A very interesting matchup because there may be no fans in the ground for Oldham. So they're staging a protest against their owner. So that could be very interesting to see what happens. But anyway, Shimmy, I'm going 3-0. Don Bernard Hattrick, what do you got?
You know, I think this is a chance. You know, this will be an interesting test. Like, just we thought the Mark Cooper Barrow match was a test of how we were against opposition. Even though we're playing last season, we played against lower teams. We played down to their level. So my hope is that, you know, we keep riding high, and I want to see that 3-0 Dom Bernard hat trick.
Yes. Oh, we need that three. We need it just so we can hear our man Billy Hunt say, what did he promise to say on the pod? Sweet molasses. Dom Bernard has scored.
Yeah.
So we need that. We need that to happen, Shimmy. All right, Shimmy, let's close out here, Shimmy. Up the Vegan Rovers.
We are FGR. Up those Vegan Rovers. And you know we got it.
You know we got to. Praise Hail, brother. Help the Vegan Rovers, baby. Thank you guys so much. Thank you all so much for listening to our nonsense. Man, let's keep this good run of form rolling for the Rovers, baby. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next time.
Thanks. Bye.
Boom. Call. Give it for me. CEO, call. Money comes in. Parade comes to town. Going down Broadway. It's a one-way street.
One-way street.
Whichever way I go. I think we got to redo that one.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay.
All right, but I think you should. I think you came in a little bit early. I think we should try to come in on time, because anyway, we're gonna mess it up. It's gonna go bad.
Oh, maybe there's a delay. I thought I came.
Or maybe there's
the right
a delay
time.
Here. Okay.
Well, let's try it again.
Okay. Stop.
Jam it, Tom. Aim for the. And then I think like right after that, he's like, aim for the corner.
Stop. Yeah, it's like stop. Hammer time. Then
jam it, time.
Aim for the corner.
Yeah.
You said, yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Let's try it. Let's try it.
Oh. Oh. Stop. Jam it time. Aim for the corner. It is said. 2-0 scoreline. Gas squad is dead. Wave your hands in the air. Best striker in the league. No other striker can't compare. That's it. Jam it scores the winner. Don't look now. Barton Terry's getting thinner. Now move. Slide your rump.
Rover's
getting hot like a Dale Vince
heat pump.
Top of the table.
Top of the table. That's how we living in, you know.
You can't touch this.
Can't touch this.